The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. Peace of mind as standard. Quality guaranteed. Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
Our text number is 51551. Our email address, john@rte.ie. Now, are you sitting comfortably, perhaps holding a nice warm cup of coffee or tea in your hand? Well, according to a recently published book, that will make you feel warmer towards others. Sensation, the New Science of Physical Intelligence, is a book by Professor Thalma Loebel, and Niamh Shaw is here to tell us a little bit more. Niamh, you're very welcome.
Thanks, John.
And tell us about the book and tell us about the woman who wrote it, and is it totally new to us?
I think it's stuff we kind of know, you know, it's sort of ingrained in us. It's all about our subconscious and how we're picking up cues all around us, you know, just by our own physical contact and picking up things like temperature and sensations. And this lady is a psychologist. She's been looking at this for the last 30 years. So she's been kind of monitoring all the different kind of experiments that support this notion that we have an inbuilt intelligence about reading cues and signals in rooms based on temperature and stuff. And if we know these cues or we're aware of them, we can take advantage of them. And that's what she kind of tells us in the book. So the reason for the book is to highlight these things that we naturally do, so that if you're aware of them, you'll be able to manipulate them to your advantage.
So you'll have that cup of coffee in your hand and you will realise that this is a force for good.
Yeah, for instance, this experiment for the cup of coffee, what they did was they set up a pretend experiment with people, and the experiment was actually all over giving them a cup of hot coffee or cold coffee, you know, like a kind of a, what are those, you know, the ones during the summer, they're the cold coffee drinks. So they had half a group in the lift with the researcher, and they all went up separately, and the researcher would ask the participant to just hold her hot coffee before they went in. And then immediately afterwards, they read a description of a person and they were asked to assess whether they were, you know, warm, whether they were generous, open-hearted or kind or whatever. And what they found was the people that were given the warm coffee in the lift, just even for a few seconds, when they read the description of a person, looked at them more favourably, saw them as warmer people than the people in the lift that got the cold water or whatever the drink was that they were given. So you are subliminally affected by touching warm objects, and you will associate that with the person, that the person is warm if you're drinking if you have a warm drink in your hand or you're warm. And they did it as well, they gave people you know, those pads that you can crack and they go warm in your hand, like, you know, in a lot of like ski resorts and things you can get those little therapeutic pads. So they did another experiment where they had half the people were given a cold pad and other people were given a warm pad, and then immediately after they were asked to say, oh, thanks very much for participating in the study, we can give you a gift, or we can give you a gift certificate in the name of somebody else. And the people who were given the warm hot pads were more philanthropic and gave the gift certificate away to somebody else. So it puts them in a warmer, more generous mood as well.
I'll give you some other examples maybe of how the physical world influences our senses and mental state, Niamh.
Well, the other thing is like the texture of things again. You see, skin, you know, the biggest organ in our bodies is skin. And we're constantly picking up signals from the outside world. So other signals from the outside world would be the texture of things. And again, that will make you feel a certain way towards somebody. So she maintains that if you put a hard or a rigid object in somebody's hand versus a soft object in that person's hand, and the same thing, you give them a description of something, they will associate rigid, hard words if they're holding a hard object, and similarly if they're holding a soft object and then they're tested on their perception of something, it would be soft. So it's like there's almost like it's subliminally influencing the world around you. So that's kind of texture. The weight of things as well, like they were saying that you know, interviewers are influenced by the weight of somebody's CV. So if you say put it in a heavy kind of a binder as opposed to just like a Polly Pocket pouch, they will see the weighted CV as coming from somebody of more importance than somebody with your Polly Pocket.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and even when they were on the street, they got people to fill out questionnaires, and the clipboard was heavy, and then there was another clipboard that was light. And what they found was when they asked people to rank things in terms of importance, they gave a higher degree of importance on the
The one with the clipboard.
On the one with the clipboard, with the heavy clipboard. So you're subliminally kind of going, well, this must be important. Same with height. We assume status and power with height.
Go away.
So, and it's interesting, people perceive.
Yeah, I can cope with that. Yeah,
yeah, because yeah, yeah. you're tall. But you immediately seem to be more powerful. And then also what they were saying was in an election, people's perception of the height of a candidate will diminish if they're not elected. Like, they'll think they're smaller, whereas if they're elected, they'll think they're higher.
Will they ever think about it, Niamh?
I don't.
Yes.
I don't
will they ever? Like, yeah. So the candidate that knocks on their door during the election campaign, and they will look at them, and they won't be actually trying to work out how tall they are, but their perception of that person, if they get elected,
will seem that they were taller people.
And if they don't get elected, smaller people.
Yeah, and then also there is actually a societal bias towards. More people in more powerful jobs or high status jobs tend to be taller. We naturally bestow more power to people that are taller. Now, this is what this lady is saying. I'm not saying I'm saying it, but these are all these different experiments.
I'm just thinking, though, some of the world's best known leaders haven't necessarily been the tallest of men.
No.
I'm thinking of Napoleon.
Napoleon is exactly what I was thinking.
Charlie Haughey was quite small.
Was he? I never
He was. And,
you see, I bet you people's perception of him was that he was tall.
Yeah.
Because it's perhaps, our perception.
Yeah, well, also, you never actually, unless you meet the person in person.
You don't know.
It's very hard from TV to actually
very,
work
very
out.
Hard.
Yeah, and some of them wear big shoes.
Yeah, and like then Bono. And then photographers like photographing powerful people would know that, and they would always photograph powerful people from underneath to give the perception of height.
Of height. Now, what's this to do with the colour red and its relationship?
Oh, the colour red.
Yeah, you're wearing red this morning, I should point out.
I wore red for two reasons.
Okay.
The first reason is that, very attractive women right across the board are always attractive, but if you use a sort of average attractiveness and you put up a series of photographs and there's nothing different in the photographs apart from the background, whether it's grey, white or red, men will always find the woman with the red background more attractive than a woman with the grey or the white background. Even when they're shown the same picture of that woman, they will say that she's more attractive in a red background. Right. And women do the same thing. In relation to men, it's more about them wanting to have sex with them, whereas women, they'll see the man in the picture with the red background as being more powerful or having more dominance. So that's like way back in our...
Is that a given though? Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is what this lady says. You know, I mean, it's hard to know. And the other thing about red is that we're a bit threatened by red as well. It kind of destabilizes us because it's an aggressive color. So for instance, before people go into an exam, there's a kind of a stereotype test that you can do on people. So it's used a lot. So for instance, before you go into an exam, if you actually make a woman remember that she's a woman before she was into an exam, it'll actually affect her results to the detriment.
Explain that to me now.
It's just that you psychologically put doubt in that person's mind because they're a stereotype or they're a minority. And similarly, if you bring up race like that before somebody goes into an exam, it will have a detrimental effect on the minority of that, you know, of the race or whatever. And similarly, in this, they played with that in an exam situation. And what they did was they gave people exam numbers, and people who had an exam number printed in red did markedly worse than people who just had their exam number in black and white. And they say that we associate sort of aggressive behaviour with red. People have a tendency to get more penalties in games, or they're perceived to be by referees if they're wearing red.
Yeah.
So it's and people feel more aggressive.
Random.
And it's a bit random. I know it's a bit random. And then similarly, she says the same thing about black and white. She said we associate goodness with white and we associate dark with black. And then there's all this. She's got 20 years of data about leagues in football and hockey that shows that referees are definitely harder on teams wearing black, that there's definitely more penalties given than teams wearing
not
white.
The All Blacks. The All Blacks are renowned for getting away with it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work there.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe just in football and hockey.
I'm just thinking, Man United, they're not doing well this year. They're doing very badly.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, they're wearing red. That's the change the colour of their shirts. Where do you waste
them? But they're a better player because they're wearing red as well. It makes them more aggressive. That's what she says.
Oh, right. Yeah, I suppose it might make Liverpool supporters happy. Yeah, what about other colours? You mentioned some of them anyway. Black. The association with black is negative.
Evil,
is
dark.
Negative. Well, that's a well-known fact, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we do associate black with bleakness,
Darth Vader,
things.
Evil,
yes.
Bad characters. Yeah. And she continually, right throughout this book, she keeps mentioning metaphors that people, you know, when you read things, you associate emotions with colours or sensations like touch or whatever it is. And that's the thing about black as well. That comes up a lot with evil characters written, you know, like Darth Vader would be in black and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And white then would be angelic and, you know, Mother Teresa would have worn predominantly white. But we kind of know that.
We don't have to buy
a book, exactly.
Anyway.
We don't really need to.
Now, what about this to do with the distance between between us and others?
Yeah.
What's the professor's thinking on this subject?
One is that she mentions a study that was conducted 60 years ago that was seemingly groundbreaking in its day, and it said that our closest friendships are based on our proximity to them. So the closer a person is to you, the higher the likelihood is that they will be a lifelong friend. So, for instance, the person you grew up with, who you live next door to, the person you shared a room with when you were in college. I have to say, for me, none of those apply.
Okay.
So I go, that's interesting, but then maybe I'm just not normal. And then another test that was conducted was about closeness, was that they put people on one end of the room and they were kind of a set distance apart, so they had a bit of space. And then they put another group the other side of the room, and they were all kind of really kind of, you know, squashed in together. Mm. And they asked the people that were squashed in together to go to the other top of the room and squeeze in with the people who had loads of space. And they were given a test where they had to pick randomly one out of four patterns, and three of the patterns were the same and one was different. And the people that had space and then didn't have space had a tendency to select the one different pattern of the four, whereas the people that were squished together and then went down and mingled, they all tended to pick just one of the three of the same patterns. So they say that when your personal space is invaded, you want to be singled out and be unique. So it's your way of kind of singling yourself out. So you express yourself as being, I'm different, I'm unique.
I see.
So that's the thing about space. But there was a few really weird ones as well, you know, about like that if you have like a, you know, an XY chart and you ask people to pick two dots that are really far apart and they draw them, and then you ask another group of people to draw two dots that are really close together, and you ask them to, she then got them to read a piece of text about this really emotional situation, and she maintained that the people that had drawn the two dots close together felt that there was a strong emotional connection for them in the piece, whereas the people that drew the two dots apart were emotionally distant from it. I think life's too short. Yeah.
Now, how about showering and morality?
That's I do actually find this one interesting. It's that we associate being clean with being moral. So she did a few interesting ones with that. She got these guys that had just been working out, so they were all sweaty and stuff, took them to the one side, and then she took out another group that had just showered. And she asked them to complete these questions that are really, really difficult. There's no way they could finish them in the time allocated. And they were to mark them themselves and anonymously put them, give themselves a mark and anonymously put them in a box, so you could easily cheat. And what she found was that the people who had just showered cheated more than the people who were dirty. And it's because that after you clean, you have this little moral high ground, this moral little extra gap
That you are physically clean.
That because you're physically clean, you have a little bit of leeway that you can kind of do something amoral. The other thing she did was she got people to...
Immoral.
So she got people then to type in something that they did that was unethical on a computer screen. And half of them were given an antiseptic wipe afterwards.
Yeah.
And then the other half weren't given antiseptic wipe. And immediately afterwards, they were asked to participate in another survey, but they wouldn't be paid for it. And the people who hadn't had their hands clean signed up for it more than the people that had cleaned their hands. And it was almost like they still had the guilt of the unethical situation in their heads because they hadn't physically cleaned it off themselves, and that's why they wanted to do something a little bit philanthropic so that it would remove some of the guilt.
I see.
So that's the thing with cleaning. So there is something in that.
Yes.
And smell then.
What about smell?
If you know somebody who likes sweet things, we have a tendency to think that they're nicer people. That's been shown. She suggests that if you want to put somebody in a good mood, give them chocolate. That we definitely are. I would agree with this anyway, because where your sense of smell, your olfactory bulbs are very near your amygdala, which is part of your inner brain. And that's where all your primal emotions are. And it's where all your memories are stored. So smell has a huge effect on your emotional recall.
Yeah.
So she says that peppermint makes people concentrate more. And cinnamon as well. She also said that if people are more prone to be amenable, if you put them in a room where there's nice smells. So what they did was they placed people at different locations outside different shops in a mall. So some of them was outside a bakery, a coffee shop and a clothes shop. And if they were asked to do something, they would be more amenable to doing it when they were outside a bakery or a coffee shop than they were outside a clothes shop. And then men approached women and they were more amenable to giving their numbers when they were outside a coffee shop or a bakery as opposed to a clothes shop.
And that's to do with the smells, the sense.
Smell, a positive smell, makes them feel good, makes them more open. So she says, if you think about all these things, if you've got a business meeting, think about where you position yourself in the room, maybe give them a warm drink, maybe give them something you know, sweet to eat, and then that'll put them in better form.
I see.
So we'll see.
So having gone through it all, Niamh, you take some of it with a pinch of salt.
Some of it with a pinch of salt.
And
I would
some
have
other
to
stuff
say.
You take.
Yeah, well, I like it. I like the clean thing. You know, it kind of rings true, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't bank my life on it. It's hard to classify people. You know, everyone's different.
So just to recap again, I have this warm cup of coffee in my hand.
You
so
should be in better form.
I'm in better form as a result.
And also you should see everybody as nicer and warmer because you've got a warm cup of coffee in your hand.
Ah, well, sure, I always think the people who come on the show are nice and warm.
And you should find me more attractive because I'm wearing red.
I should indeed. And it's obvious. It just is. Yeah, it was an instant. So warm coffee, red jumper, I'll tell you what.
It's a given.
Well, the book is called The New Science of Physical Intelligence and it's written by Professor Talma Lobel. Will you be rushing out to buy it?
I've read it now, so I don't need to buy it.
That's true. Sorry, yeah.
But it's interesting. It's an interesting
Should
read.
Others, I mean, go out
it's
and,
a nice little one to pick up and put down.
All right. Yeah. Okay, great stuff. Just like a cup of coffee. You can pick it up and put it down. Niamh Shaw, thanks a million and take care of yourself.
Text 51551. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.